The things we are talking about are cursed things. Are you there? So we have seen one. One is the tithe. The second one is the first fruit. And if you're going to accomplish worship, you accomplish it with the accursed things, with things that belong to God, things that are due to God. Is that clear? That's how you accomplish worship. Worship is not just that you came to church. You might have come to church and you did not accomplish worship because you did not give God that which is due him. Whenever you are practicing worship, you are giving to God that which is his due. Okay, are we there? Let's go to another item that is a dedicated matter. That is one of the things that is due to God. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. Hebrews 13, verse 15. It says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, what exactly is the sacrifice of praise? Then he defines it. He calls it the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Part of the things that is due God is the fruit of our lips. So if we call it first fruit, then the first thing you must do when you wake up in the morning is to give thanks to God. And it's a religious practice that you must sustain on a daily basis to old age. I don't know how many of you are aware of the things that fly in the night. David gave us a little insight into the nature of the night. Are you aware of what happens in the night? Okay. Let me give you... no need. You know. You know what happens in the night. Just in case there are people that don't know, technical people, can you help us with David's perspective of the night? He speaks about the pestilence, the arrows that fly by day and what? That's Psalms 92? 91. Okay, let's go to Psalms 91 and see the things that happen in the night. You, O God, the fruit of your lips is part of the things that are devoted things. It is God's due. So if the fruit of your lips, if it is a fruit, then the first fruit, which is the first utterance you make every day, vocal utterance, should be utterances of thanksgiving. He says, surely he shall... Verse 5. Okay, just jump to verse 5. He said, thou shalt not be afraid of the terror... the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. Verse 6, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness. These are things superior to your intelligence that are at work, synonymous with your inhaling and exhaling during the night time. We have many medical personnel in this auditorium. And if they are truthful to us, then we know that every act of healing that takes place through drugs is a miracle. Doctor, can you say that? We have a very senior doctor in the midst. I don't know why he likes sitting in the congregation. He handed over to my father in the Lord in medical school, the fellowship in medical school. He is in our midst. Can we salute you? Hallelujah. So he handed over to my father in the Lord as coordinator of their fellowship. What year was that? 1980. Now. All right. When you see people healing, recovering from infirmity, recovering from sickness, it's not so much of the drugs. Hallelujah. So I've seen this on a lot, many hospital signboards. We treat. God heals. So, okay, some are we care, but God heals. Hallelujah. There is a pestilence that walketh in darkness. So it's expected when you survive the night and you see the break of another day, the first thing you do is that you offer unto him the fruit of your lips. The first fruits belong to God. The first talking. Meanwhile, you can have people wake up from sleep and continue the quarrel that they started last night. There's no sense of reverence. No sense of thanksgiving. There's no understanding of the fact that you escaped pestilence. The Lord will help us in the name of Jesus. So that is one of the things that are due to God. The fruit of your lips and the first utterances that you make every morning should be utterances of thanksgiving. This is how he puts it in the book of Hebrews chapter 13 verse 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Number four, your body is one of the dedicated things. And the way you use your body will determine if God will be favorably disposed to you or not. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning from verse 15 to verse 20. 1 Corinthians 6, beginning from verse 15 to verse 20. It said, know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of an harlot? What's the answer to that question? God forbid. Say, what? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, said he, shall be one flesh. Do you know the meaning of this scripture? Oh, you are not following me. Wait, don't remove that scripture. I said, do you know the meaning of that scripture? Do you realize that what Paul is saying is every act of sex is an act of marriage? Whether you like it or not, there is some form of union has been achieved by that act. And there are a lot of potentials that that act can give to the kingdom of darkness if that union is illegal. A gradient is created where there can be transmission of demonic things just because one is joined to a harlot. Nothing makes you more vulnerable than joining your body to that which you don't have the blessing of God so to join. As we study, you will find out that this, your body, belongs to God. It is God's temple. And the only person that has jurisdiction to access it is someone that God has endorsed, which happens to be your wife. Only your wife can. God has ceded that body that is his to your wife. So your wife can have the body. And when your wife has the body, it is in keeping with the will of God. Are you there? But when you join it illegally, nothing makes you more vulnerable than this kind of activity. The reason is because your body is one of the things that is due to God. Is a dedicated thing. It belongs to God. It does not belong to you. Yeah, go on. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. This is what makes us normally say that every sin is not the same. Because the Bible puts this particular sin in a separate category. It calls it a sin against the body. Exactly. And nothing diffuses the concentration of the grace of God on your life as much as fornication. No matter how powerful the car you are riding is, if you have a flat tire, that car will be jacked. It will be immobilized. Not because it has engine problem. The engine is still intact. But you are going to have motion problem. So you will need to stop it and jack the car. Remove the tire and treat it. Anyone that becomes a slave of fornication must be immobilized. If his place of mobility is the pulpit, he must be quarantined from pulpit because the tire has to be jacked and treated. Are you with me? He has deflated. If he keeps running on the wheels, he'll be running on what they call that thing? Rims. The other day, we were escaping one danger. There was a problem with the tire, but we had to escape a danger. And we ran on the rims. That's the day I discovered that rims can break. Rims. Alloy rims broke. We got to safety, but we lost the rims. No matter how, and I was on a Benz. We still had to jack it and to. So when you're on a pulpit and you are overtaken by the flood of fornication, flood of immorality, the best thing that can happen to you is that help comes to you. What you need is help, not a microphone. They will have to jack the system and deposit you in the intensive care unit of the grace of God so that Master Jesus can come and apply drip. The drip of the washing of water by his word. Aye. So that your veins and the bloodstream can be purged. When you come out of that clinic, you are supposed to be coming out in the full regalia of a humble man. Because that's the only way you can escape that epidemic. It's not your portion in the name of Jesus. It is not your portion. Your body is one of those things that belong to God. In fact, he said that if you decide to defy that body that you are carrying, which is his property, he will destroy you. Not Satan, no. He said he will destroy you. Are you there? We look at two other matters on spiritual covering. So we have finished the issues of the accursed things, the dedicated things. So let us do two other principles as I try to round up for the night. You can also access spiritual covering through the grace that is operational in the life of an active minister that is in active service to Jesus. Turn your Bible to the book of Acts, chapter 20, verse 29. Acts, chapter 20, verse 29. For I know this, that after my departing, shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. These grievous wolves could not enter in among the people as long as Apostle Paul was present. Do you realize that? The presence of Apostle Paul created covering for the people, and the wolves had to stay at bay. And they were hoping for a time, and such a time as Apostle Paul will depart from the locality, then they will have an opportunity to make their comeback. The thing about someone that has a commission from God, that has an assignment from God, especially someone that is in active service, seeing to it that the actualization of that assignment is in force. The thing about such a person is that he has access to the grace that establishes a commission. The grace that establishes a commission is corporate grace. Even though it is on one man, it is not meant for that man. The man is not functioning according to the believer's measure of grace, but is functioning according to the grace that establishes the allotment that God has sent him to. Are you there? You are not there. Okay. Let me give you an example. Pastor Tony, I used to know you as he was an accounting student. Those days, you used to wear a black trouser and a navy blue shirt. You were in, what level were you when I was in final year?
I got to BSU 2000 and I got admission 2003, November 15th.
2000, no. Did you meet me? I'm not sure.
We didn't meet.
No, we didn't meet. Sit down. Why did you accept? We didn't meet. I think Gabby Todo is the first human being that came to me and said he wants to submit to me. This is Gabby Todo. So take the microphone. Because we want to hear from him. Don't lie today. Don't lie. Say it. First of all, why did you come here? Come here. This is the first human being that ever came to me and said, I have seen. So, please, why did you come to me that day? What motivated you? Because those days I don't used to laugh much. Why? How did you survive? And please talk to the world. Yeah.
I just came on campus and.
What year was?
2000.
2000.
Then you were the coordinator of BSU Encounter Crusade.
BSU Encounter Crusade. All right. So, the pioneer of BSU Encounter Crusade is even here. The one that started that crusade, that handed over to me. So he's here. All right. You know why I'm doing this? If we can't trace you to a man, we'll trace you to the devil. May the Lord give you understanding. All right, go on.
So in my evangelistic outreaches on campus, I investigated to find out the fathers that were on the campus before I came who had labored. And I found out he was one of them. So I went to him and submitted to him. And submitted the entire ministry that the Lord gave me the honor of starting then, BSU Watchers, under him as a spiritual covering. So he became one of the persons that God used to establish the campus on the land. So I saw in you one who could father young people and who had a heart for young people. And that's why I came to submit.
Okay. What did you gain? Did you gain anything at all?
Yes, you told a little of the story here last year. When you were leaving campus, that lady that attempted to... Yes.
There was a lady. May the Lord deliver all young men. This lady, if you touch that lady, no anointing will come on your head again. You will be bored in the spirit. So when I was leaving, I called him. I said, this lady, as you labor here, make sure your chest is not stained by her. Did you survive that lady?
I did. Okay. She actually made a lot of attempts. She made the attempts. I pretended like I was not aware that I had intelligence about her. Pretended like I was playing along.
Listen to me. I was not even close to being the best. Most of the best came down through that lady. May the Lord give you understanding.
So I think I received the original documents on how to survive sexual sin from you.
So here is Gabe Bitodo. He's an arrowhead to watch in the days to come. He has been thoroughly discipled. You will see that in his discipline, the way he has ordered himself, his family life, the way he treats his wife, the reason is because he was discipled. He had an authority around him that would say, this cannot happen. And he was foolish enough to submit to it. God has a great treasure at work in his life. I salute you. Now listen, there are grievous wolves that stand guard, waiting for opportunities to prey on the destiny of the unsuspecting. But the presence of apostolic covering is the antidote of the kingdom to that level of invasion. I don't want to go beyond that. If I give another example now, you will. So, I want to stop there. Are you there? All right, so we'll do the popular scripture, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 20. You all know this scripture? Hallelujah. Are you there in 2 Chronicles 20, 20? And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper." It is possible for you to have found the secure place. The secure place is your relationship with God. The secure place are the things that happen to you when you encounter God. One of the things that encounters you, one of the things that happens to you, is that you have personal conviction about God's commitment to your life, God's commitment to your destiny. And I said here before that if you lose in your soul, you will lose on the ground. There's no need to fight. There's already a hole in your armor. When we go into the armor of God, you will see the way Satan defeats people even before the fight. If you lose, help me preach to your neighbor quickly, tell him, if you lose in your soul, you have lost on the ground. So in your secure place, one of the things that God does is that he comes to administer a certain kind of currency. The currency of assurance. The currency of conviction. This currency are the utensils God gives you to stabilize your soul. Your soul is versatile and your soul is unreliable. But when the Holy Spirit administers conviction, this conviction can run so deep that it can steal your soul, just like an anchor will steal a mighty ship. When you are in alignment like that, and your spirit and your soul are in alignment, even when you see things that are contrary to the things that God has told you, you will have enough impetus to believe beyond the situation that what is at work in your spirit is so solid that this fickle circumstance cannot override it. That's how faith and the life of faith is born. Are you still with me? Yes, sir. I say, are you here? Yes, sir. So we understand the blessing and the stability that comes when a man has found God in his secure place. And there's a temptation to think that your secure place is an indication of the fact that you don't need any other person. There are various support systems that God puts in place to ensure that you don't miss your way. Apart from the robustness of conviction that comes because of your intercourse with God, there are also several infrastructure built into the body of Christ in the likeness and in the form of men that have touched the Lord, and God can trust them with some substances of grace. You also need that external support system in order to guarantee your establishment in that which God has sent you to perform. So you might have a robust, secure place. And just in case you don't have the prophet. Are you there? You can have a vision. Okay, say, I want to marry this lady. That was how someone came the other time. He came and said, in the night vision, I beheld this damsel high into the heavens. I told him, go and sit down. Because, hallelujah. And he trusted me, went and sat down. And he didn't even ask me why I told him to go and sit down. He didn't ask me. The reason was because he believed in my leadership. He went and sat down. And he sat down for 2 years. After 2 years, I now called him and said, that one day, go and check. Go to your place. That's your place of prayer. Go there and check this one. He came after 3 weeks smiling. I said, that's the way. He never asked me why I told him to go and sit down. This is someone that has encounters when he prays. He has a robust, secure place. But his secure place did not exempt him from the need of a prophet. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall he be established. Meanwhile, someone had come to me. I told the person, don't go there. The person came after 2 weeks and said, God said he has settled me. Why am I disturbing him? I said, in the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, you are blessed and released to go. Hallelujah. And Satan struck. You know why? There is a grace that God puts, a grace that God releases to establish a commission. It's different from the grace that is upon your life. And I don't doubt your accuracy in the spirit. But one thing about the prophetic is that we need to confirm it. We need to cross-check. We need to compare notes. The prophetic can be judged. Because Satan too can quote scriptures. If you have read your Bible, the closest relative to prophecy is soothsaying. That's what a spirit of divination does. I hear people clap when people call phone numbers and say, your phone number is 0806. Do you know that someone with the spirit of divination can call your phone number? Can call your name? The name of your compound? The name of your village? What's the difference between a soothsayer and a prophet? The prophet has the capacity to reveal the things of God. Your name is not one of the things of God. Your phone number is not one of the things of God. The name of your village. They make me. Is it God that gave that name? Is it God? What's the meaning of they make me? Huh? Let me die. Is it God that gave? May the Lord give you understanding. Those are not the things of God. It can be revealed by divination. The Bible says we have received a spirit which is not of this world, but the spirit which is of God, that we may know the things that are freely given to us of God, with things we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but in words which the Holy Ghost teacheth. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Are you there? Believe in the Lord your God, so shall he be established. Believe also in his prophets, so shall he prosper. I had an invitation last year by a nation. A nation invited me, not a conference, not a church. Do you understand that? A nation invited me, sent me an invitation. So I had that opportunity, that privilege. And they paid for my ticket, business class, sent me visas and everything. I had to call my father-in-law because I've never seen this aspect of ministry before. What I know ministry to be is that they invite you for a conference somewhere and then you go for that conference. All right? For the first time in my life, a nation invited me. So I called my father-in-law. And in my own opinion, because of the way I was discipled, I was not inclined to go in. Because I felt, what was I going to do? I was going to show myself. So I felt there was no deal. But I called him. I said, I've never seen this kind of thing before. A nation invited me. He said, that's the greatest honor of a preacher. Go, and when you come back, tell me what happened. Even though I didn't feel like going, the prophet. That's the one Baba said I should follow. He said, go. So my own personal inclination about it had expired because of. Believe, is it that I can't hear God? Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe also in his prophets, so shall you prosper. Please, may the Lord help you to understand that I'm not using this scripture to sell myself to you. No. I just teach the scriptures the way it is, without adding my own personal desires. So that everybody can see the simplicity of the word of God and profit from the counsel of our God. Hallelujah.